KGCK, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTBK, Sherman-Denison. KTDK, Sanger. George Jub Jub Dunham, Craig Jr. Miller, and the Great Gordo. Musin' in the News tomorrow morning at 7:15 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
It is 4:52. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to The Hardline. Yes, down here in Houston at the Super Bowl. Now, we're going to be visiting with the great Joe Theismann here in a moment. He's wrapping up another interview right now, and Big Frito is going to be running him down here.
This week's Sports Illustrated, big story on the Mavericks.
All right.
Big story on the Mavericks.
In fact, they even made the cover.
Yeah.
Up at the top it says, Doubting the Dallas Mavericks, a story by Jack McCallum. So,
good for the Mavericks.
He still has some doubts as to the validity of the Little Mavericks, and hey, any doubts about the Little Mavericks are probably,
it's not unfounded,
yeah, within reason. So we'll have to read that and see what he says about it, maybe get him on later on this week to discuss that story if he'd like.
Really hope we can get Dan Shaughnessy on with us though. Really hope we can run him down.
Have you all seen him?
I haven't seen him. I saw him once.
Is that the curly-haired guy?
Yeah. We had him on last year. I really want to know what he has to say about A-Rod, because they're, you know, they got to be going nuts up there in Boston about this.
Yeah, see what the inside scoop on that up there is. We'll see if we can't get Dan, the very fine columnist of the Boston Globe, on here with us at some point. And who knows who else will be made available to us as the week plays out.
I know we're going to get into this here in a minute, because Georgie and you and me and Rob and who else was there last night? Dan and Bob.
Herman Drawn were there.
Yeah.
The media party last night. But do you think that that party was the best that you've seen as like far as last five go?
The last five media parties?
Yeah. As far as the setup?
Well, now down in Tampa, they ran the B-52s
in
there.
That's true.
You know, and they've ran...
Well, SeaWorld was pretty good.
They ran some other musical act of some note in at most of all the rest of them, too. Like in New Orleans, they had Alan Toussaint, and they didn't do that last night.
No, but the aquarium was great.
Yeah, the aquarium was great. The aquarium was great.
Oh.
And we'll be telling everybody about that in just a bit, but joining us now... You see him on ESPN Sunday Night Football. He is a legendary figure in Dallas for a number of reasons. Number one, he took Notre Dame to the Cotton Bowl one year. And
got lucky.
Trounced Texas.
Got lucky in that game.
No, he did not. He trounced Texas at a time when Texas had a big winning streak.
You mean they got lucky in the first one I went to? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, right. No, not at all. Not at all.
I hate that hook 'em horns thing.
Oh, you do?
Oh, I can't stand
God
it.
God bless you,
people
Joe.
Run around, people run and go hook 'em horns. I tell you, you know what you can do with that hook 'em horns thing.
And number two, he dealt the Cowboys a lot of misery during his time with the hated Redskins. He is the great Joe Theismann.
Thank you, guys.
Now, how you doing?
Oh, look at that. I have to tell you, I've done a lot of shows. There are like two separate sections here in Houston at the convention center. You guys have the best headsets.
We do, don't we?
Absolutely.
That's because we have the best engineer.
The best
headsets.
That's
him right there.
I mean, kudos to the choice of headsets. I mean, they're terrific. I can't hear anything but you guys.
Well, we spare no expense down here unless it comes to hotels. That's it. That's the only thing we spare expense on.
You're staying at that Motel 6 with me?
You know what? We wish we were staying in the Motel 6.
Yeah. I saw a tent right outside here. Is that yours?
No.
Ours.
We wish we were staying in that tent. It'd be cleaner.
Yeah. Best headsets, worst hotels. Boy, you've got your own private handler over here, don't you?
I got my own security and everything.
That is awesome, man.
Well, you know, FedEx doesn't skimp at all on us. As a matter of fact, funny you should mention FedEx.
I should.
That was very nice of you to bring that up.
So you're down here in some sort of affiliation with FedEx?
Not only
obviously.
Do I have my FedEx shirt on.
Right.
Actually, John Riggins and I were asked by FedEx to host the FedEx Air and Ground NFL Players of the Year Awards. And earlier this afternoon, Peyton Manning received the air part of it, and Amon Green received the ground part of it. The fans voted on it. Mm-hmm. Fan voting closed on NFL.com January 19th. And these two guys were voted on by the fans. And it's unique. FedEx has put something together that is very unique. No award honors both men simultaneously. Everybody
right.
has one or the other.
Right.
But FedEx wanted to put the both of them together because what their excellence in as far as air and ground goes. And so they managed to be able to have these awards. And John and I have basically done SMT, satellite media tours, and he and I are together. We'll be doing another thing on Sunday morning together, and I've got some TV shows to do yet. But it's great to be here. This is the first time I've been on Radio Row, too, all week. And it's it just continues to grow. It's like it's section after section after section now.
Now, back in the day, speaking of air and ground, back in the day, you and the great John Riggins did form a very, very devastating duo.
One that relied on the other very heavily.
Yes.
I know how much I missed John because in 1979, we lose to the Cowboys in when Tony Hill makes the catch.
Right.
And we got a chance at Roger, and Roger ducks around and makes the throw. I think it was Roger's last game. It could have been Roger Staubach's last football game, 79, I believe.
Actually, the playoffs.
They went on, and we didn't.
Right.
But they beat us down there, and John put everything into that game. John retired in 1980. And we went 6-10 that year just because I didn't have John Riggins behind me. And fortunately, in 81, we managed to crawl our way back to 8-8, and then things happened really well for us after that. But John was just a phenomenal football player. I mean, just he was an absolutely unique individual. As a matter of fact, in 1983, John scores 24 touchdowns, which at that time was the record before Emmitt broke it.
Mm-hmm.
Never went to the Pro Bowl because during the Pro Bowl balloting, they couldn't find a way to vote for him. He wasn't really a halfback, and he wasn't really a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
So they never voted for John Riggins, even though we score 541 points. I'm the MVP of the league. John scores 24 touchdowns. He didn't even get to the Pro Bowl. It was just one of those amazing things that happened in football, and you look back and you scratch your head and you wonder why. Then you take a guy like Mike Allstott, who really isn't a fullback,
mm-hmm.
and goes to 7 consecutive Pro Bowls and has never rushed for 1,000 yards.
So I mean, not to beat you down with John Riggins talk or anything, but the thing I remember...
No, I don't mind at all.
The thing I remember about him is, really there are two things. Number one, he really wore teams down as the game went on.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like you would do your thing, you would get the Redskins ahead, and then the ball would be fed to him, and that was it.
Well, this is the way... That's, you know, FedEx, as they put together this award, took that philosophy. And I've always looked at it this way, and a lot of people do in football. You throw to score, you run to win.
Yeah.
And basically what we did is we got ahead and then turned the ball over to Johnny. Matter of fact, in the NFC Championship game in 1983 against the Dallas Cowboys, true story, we ran the ball, I think, 13 times at the end of that ball game, specifically at Randy White.
Mm-hmm.
Russ Grimm, I got in the huddle and I called like a, we had plays, inside plays and outside plays. So I get in there, 40 gut and 50 gut were inside plays, 60 and 70 outside were outside plays. So I step into the huddle at the beginning of the last part of the game, and I say, I'm going to run 70 outside. And Russ goes, no. My left guard, he goes, no. I said, what do you mean, no? Joe wants me to run. No. We're going to run 50 gut right over my rear end, right at Randy. I said, okay, fine. So we run it, gain 4 yards. So I get in the huddle. Joe signals in, 70 outside. So I call 70 outside. Russ goes, no. I said, no. He says, no. We're going to run 50 gut again, right over my rear end at Randy White. Okay, so now, needless to say, how about 13 straight 50 guts, right directed at Randy White? We figured if we were going to beat the Lion, we were going to tear its heart out.
Well, on every one of them, did you call something else and have that same scene?
After the third call of a 70 outside, I just gave up. I didn't look at the sidelines. I just looked at Russ and I said, we're going to do it again? He goes, yep.
Now, what did Joe Gibbs have to say about that?
Way to go, guys. Congratulations. Let's pack our bags. We're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, Joe didn't care. Joe had no qualms about it.
Now, speaking of Joe Gibbs,
isn't it great?
What about that? I mean, when you're a guy that's, always going to be a Redskin, you got to be happy when they're doing well and pretty sad when they don't.
I think it's great. To me, I think it's great the Cowboys have come back the way they have at 10-6. And with Bill Parcells there and Joe Gibbs now in Washington, I can't wait. I only hope that we at ESPN can get ourselves a Washington-Dallas game. It'll be an old classic rivalry between two of the great coaches in this game, two of the great traditions and franchises that get a chance to go at it again. I can't tell you how excited people are in the city of Washington. Everywhere you go, there's paraphernalia for sale. You've never seen like Redskin hats and shirts and T-shirts and sweatshirts. You never see them for sale in January. They're hanging everywhere.
You know, the league, it's a better league when the Cowboys and the Redskins are good.
It really
Sorry,
is.
Sorry, it's a better league.
And you know something, truthfully, it's a better league when the Cowboys are good. I got to be perfectly honest with you. I think...
Oh, that pains you to say
it,
that.
It doesn't. You know what? I love football. I'm a traditionalist in this game, and I think the job that Jerry Jones has done, really changing the face of the NFL, the things that he's done, you know, advertising in the stadium and the way he has managed the Cowboys, the way he has kept the Cowboy name out there. And I give him a lot of credit for making a decision and saying, hey, look, I'm not getting it done. I need to bring in a football guy. And that's what he did. He swallowed his pride, parked it. You know, he probably has two parking spaces there at the Cowboy facility, one for the ego, one for his car. He's got the cover over the ego, and that's where it stays, and there's Bill Parcells. And I admire Jerry for doing it. I give him a lot of credit. I really do.
Okay, how are you liking this matchup this week?
I think this game's, it's not a glamour game. It doesn't have the glamour of, say, if the Eagles got here with all the stuff and the hoopla around it. I think it's a good, solid football game. I think the New England Patriots have a little more firepower on offense and have the capability to score points. And in this game, I think it's a game of big plays. I don't know if Carolina can make enough big plays on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think Carolina's front four is the best in football. I think defensively, New England can present problems better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Carolina can't run the football, I just don't know if they'll be able to mount enough of an attack throwing it, especially against the complexity of what New England does. And, you know, that ought to tell you, I like New England in this game.
Okay, you've worked for FedEx for a long time, right?
Oh, God.
Almost
2 weeks.
Have you ever noticed the arrow in there? Have you ever noticed that arrow in the logo?
The arrow?
Yeah, see the arrow right here? In FedEx?
No.
Oh, you can see that?
In the background there.
See that arrow?
I see it, yes.
You've never noticed that, have you?
I never have. That's very good. That's the first time I've noticed it.
See, that's the way they get you at FedEx.
That's wonderful. That is terrific. We at FedEx are so smart.
Yes.
What we do is we put subliminally.
That's exactly right.
Say that word five times fast. We put subliminally little things in there. That means that we at FedEx can take it anywhere you want it to go in a hurry.
That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, go FedEx. Go Joe Theismann.
Thanks,
great
guys.
To have you on here as always. I don't know if you know this, but you've been on with us numerous times.
I have,
before,
and I always enjoy it.
And we Dallas, always enjoy
and,
you.
And you know what?
You're
Dallas
great,
really man. Likes you. They really do.
And I do too. I'll tell you one quick story. When I used to have a football with my name on it. I keep doing it. They keep saying, "Get the heck off the air, Joe." The FedEx people are yanking me away. I don't want to leave. I used to have football signed with my name on it when I was playing, because that was my goal, was to become a good enough football player that somebody would allow me to put my name on it. And Hutch asked me to do it. I remember they tried to sell these footballs in Dallas, and they put them up in department stores, and they'd no sooner get those suckers up there, people would be knocking them over and kicking them down. So at that time, it was part of a very nice way to be looked at. If people in Dallas didn't like me, that meant that I was doing something real good for the Redskins, and it turned out okay. But I'll never forget September 9th, 1985. My 35th birthday.
Ah, yes.
Opening Monday night against the Dallas Cowboys and Washington Redskins. I sat on the bench. Final score of that game was like 38-7, some ridiculous score. I sat on that bench and listened to everybody in Texas Stadium sing me a happy birthday.
Right.
And I want to tell you, I have every one of your names and addresses, and in time I'm going to get y'all.
Joe? Always good to visit
Thanks,
with you.
Guys.
And have fun here at the Super Bowl.
Look forward
week.
To it. Good All to right. see you again. Bye-bye.
The great Joe Theismann joins us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
I like that guy, man.
I like that guy, too. Boy, nothing wrong with him at all. He's a good dude. 5:05 here on The Ticket. Coming up next, tales from last night's media extravaganza.
And why you lost a lot of money.
Yes, why I lost a lot of money last night here on The Ticket.